It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. I am Chris Mack. He is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali. And you've got another edition of Cabali and Mack right here in front of you with about 10 pounds of stuff to fit into a 5-pound sack again as we wrap up the first week of OTAs presented by the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of the show, and they are wonderful to us. So thanks to the entire team who's ready to get you into the perfect home right now. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all of them waiting for you to find you the perfect Haas. Follow us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course on YouTube. Just search Cabali and Mack. Doing well in the YouTube department, approaching 1,600 followers, which means you want to get on board soon. When we get to 2,500, we're going to give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. So thanks to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. They're out there at South Hills Village. If you're in the Berg, if you're anywhere else, check them out online, firstandgoalsports.com. They got us that beautiful Paul Skeens autographed baseball that will be given away again when we get to 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. There's plenty to talk about, Kaboom. There's trade rumors, fresh trade rumors. How about that? There's OTAs going on. There's some attempted non-negotiation of edge rusher contracts in the media. There's Yinzers in the wild. There's Money in the Bank a week away in WWE. Plenty to talk about, but I figured we would start with the fun last night.
Allie Wiggin. There's Joe DiNardo. Rest in peace. And there's sports teams that make us the true title town of the United States of America. You have the 5-time Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. You have the 6-time Super Bowl champion, Pittsburgh Steelers. Then, in the most beautiful ballpark in the entire resides the 5-time World Series champion, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Our boy Pat McAfee up there on stage last night at the Post Malone Jelly Roll show. He was introducing Jelly Roll before he came on. It was a good night last night.
Yeah,
where were you?
I was at home. I didn't get the invite. Plus, I thought it was pretty interesting that there was no booze for the Pirates, or at least I couldn't hear any. Were there?
There was. If you listen to the very end of the clip, there was sort of in the distance you could hear, "Sell the team, Bob."
That was one of the fans.
That was not me. I did not take that video. My seats weren't nearly as good as those seats.
So I guess Pat's previous engagement was true, unlike maybe awful announcing suggested it wasn't.
Yeah, he and Jelly are pretty tight, I think, at this point. That's the third time I've seen Jelly Roll in like the last 8 months here in Pittsburgh, if you count the big night out. And that dude's fantastic. I don't care if you're a country music fan, a rock fan, whatever you're a fan of. Jelly Roll just connects with the audience. That dude is on another level right now. And he still was an opener last night. He only played for about an hour. He opened for Post Malone.
Seems like a nice individual, too. A nice man.
Seems like a very good dude. Yeah.
Good dude.
So it was fun last night.
No shaboozy?
No shaboozy. How are you recovering? It's a little less than 24 hours since you had your first taste of sushi. Oh. And according to Chris Carter, who also covers the Steelers, you actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was bullied into it by the guy.
How are you bullied?
Well, I'm sitting there and they have all this big sushi spread and I'm staring at it. And the guy that's making him remind me of a hero of mine.
Okay.
My goodness, if this guy didn't look like Mr. Miyagi, if he's not Miyagi's brother. So he had some mind games on me, and the guy even referred to himself as the best sushi guy in Pittsburgh, John.
That's a big claim.
I'm like, okay, what do you suggest? I'm like, I don't want none of this raw fishy tuna stuff.
Well, no, nobody wants fishy tasting stuff.
Yeah, you know, the big tuna, whatever it is. So he pointed out a couple of things, and people, I got to try it. It was actually pretty tasty, but then people say, that's not real sushi.
Why wasn't it real sushi? What was it?
It was like a shrimp tempura or something, and something picked out.
That's not like sushi sushi.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's baby steps for you in the right direction. I'm proud of you.
Wasn't bad. I think it was avocado in there. But I actually think he had some kind of, you know, Miyagi mind tricks on me. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, my goodness, this is his brother. And he, when he referred to himself as the best sushi maker in the city, I'm like, how can I say no?
You had to try it. Yes. I'm proud of you. I didn't think you'd ever do it. And that's baby sushi, shrimp tempura with a little avocado mixed in. But it's good.
The problem is now you go to some, you know, hubbub scroungy place now that.
Well, don't do that. Go, you get good
stuff. Now you're ruined.
Don't go buying gas station sushi then. Get
the
good
stuff. That's the problem now. You set your bar here. You can't go here.
There are plenty of good sushi places in Pittsburgh you can find. Just
the problem is I need to eat about 600 of them to feel satisfied. Yeah,
that's tough, man. They don't fill you up. They really don't. But they're good, and they're healthy.
They're not made for us. And speaking of Carter pulls the old chopsticks out. I'm like, come on, man. Just use your fingers.
You can't use chopsticks?
Well, you know that now. That might be more cake eater than anything. Using chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant.
Why is that cake eater? That's how the food is meant to be eaten.
Look at me. I can use chopsticks. That's all that
is. You're just jealous that you don't know how to use them.
Well, I understand the concept of chopsticks and why the Chinese use them. I'm well aware of this. But, you know, my fingers are the best chopsticks or best utensils there are.
Right? Thanks to the friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show as well. You want your lawn to look great and you don't want to have to spend all your damn free time on it, watering it, spraying fertilizer, weeding, mowing, weed whacking, trimming, you don't have to do any of that. Once you got Southwest Greens, a beautiful artificial lawn that looks and acts like real grass, you're going to love it. Get a hold of them. Tell Jake that we sent you, southwestgreenspa.com. You'll have the best looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of work having to be put into it. We appreciate them for supporting the show as well here on Cabali and Mac. So I think we'll start today off the field and then we'll work our way on the field. Does that work?
I'm glad, first of all, that you have power. So that should give us an extra 10 minutes. And yeah. Gormy, taking over the Gormy show, will give us an extra 15 minutes, so we should be able to cover it all.
Why you got to bust Kevin's balls all the time?
Because it's fun. If I don't bust your balls, I don't like you.
He gives thorough answers, okay? That's what it is. He's thorough in his description of the issues, and there are many with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
You can tell if I like you or not. If I just ignore you, I don't.
Right.
If I bust your balls, then maybe you're coming around on me.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think too many people care, but that's my process of life.
Okay, that's fair. I'll accept the ball busting on the power going out in the middle of the show yesterday. I have not. I've heard you handled it. Well, I've heard you handled it. I don't know how well it went, but
not well.
Not well. Well, that's why there's two of us here.
I'm a good number two. No pun intended. Maybe there is a pun intended, but I'm not a number one. And I am fully aware of this.
Look, every great quarterback needs a number one wide receiver they can trust and vice versa. That's all this is here. I just try to hit the back shoulder on the fade and know that you're going to come down with it and score a TD. That's all this is here. It's great teamwork.
Especially when, you know, I wasn't aware of what was going on and you just went black screen right as Gormy was coming on. I'm like, humana, what do I do?
Oh, man.
And people texting me, and I'm like, yeah, I understand. Whatever. Hey, that's why we do the show. This ain't
speaking of big money positions like quarterback and wide receiver, the other big money position on any NFL roster, of course, is edge rusher. And it is a point of discussion anytime TJ Watt comes up because he's got to get a contract extension. You said you're going to wear the TJ hat until the deal gets done. Thanks.
It's LT when I'm looking at it, but I'm guessing it says TJ.
It looks right to everybody else. Don't worry. But TJ's older brother, JJ, Jage, was on the Pat McAfee show the other day, and they tried to get something out of him.
Don. Cowboys currently residing in Hammer.
Don.
AP Tone. Tone, any Pittsburgh Steelers insider questions for J.J. Watt? Because he certainly has information. This is going to be like an A.J. Hawk type scenario, but let's see how he dances.
Yeah, I almost regret asking this because it has been so quiet, and I don't want people to talk about it. But there is still the contract looming out there. TJ has got 1 year left on his contract. Is there any update on that situation?
You don't need to regret anything. It's okay.
All right.
It's a television show. It's fun.
Coming off the bench here. I haven't talked in 30 minutes. You gotta get it out.
Sorry. good segment. Good segment.
He regretted something.
Sorry, I do. I mean, I have a lot of information on that subject. That's not my subject to discuss.
Okay, so you are JJ, not TJ.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like you should be the one speaking on TJ's situation.
Okay, fair enough. JJ doesn't want to say anything.
Then he goes on and
TJ.
Talks about it.
Well, so, and this is where I wanted to give this proper context. I was going to put the two clips together, but I didn't want it to get taken out of context here. JJ did not say anything specifically about TJ and his pending contract extension with the Steelers. But where JJ was willing to go, and this is a little bit of a longer clip, but bear with it, because JJ talked about the edge rusher market in general, the D-end market, and this was all in reference to Trey Hendrickson, whose poor negotiations with the Bengals have been very well documented. But then you can kind of see where JJ is going with this.
Been a big believer that ownership and front offices obviously treat this like a business, but they do not like it when the players flip the script on them and treat it like a business back. Taking care of your guys earlier does a few things for you. Number one, gets them locked in at a lower price in the long run. I mean, you look at what prices are doing every single year. You get them locked in at a lower price. Number two, you're keeping them happy. Because even now, let's say, look at Trey Hendrickson's situation. Let's say they pay him now. Now there's all this resentment. There's all this animosity. And yeah, $40 million or whatever it is cures a whole lot of that. And he's going to act like everything is great and everything is wonderful. But you just went through a whole bunch of time where there was some disrespect, where there's some hurt feelings. And now you're going to go back into a building and act like everything's okay. If you take care of things early, especially when players want to take care of things earlier and say that they'll take less money to take care of things earlier because it sets themselves up long-term financially, do that. Because if you don't do that, that's when the problems start to arise. And now all of a sudden you say, hey, we have to kick this can down the road because of the way everything's working out. You kick the can down the road, the can gets a whole lot bigger. And then the player says, well, the can's a lot bigger now. Fill it up. And you don't want to fill it up because you say, well, we have to pay all these other guys. We have to take care of these other things. It's like, well, I wanted to fill the can way back down here when it was a little soup can. Now we got ourselves a garbage pail.
Okay, so the disrespect and the hurt feelings part I don't think applies. Maybe you would know better than I do to the TJ Watt situation with the Steelers. I think that was a direct reference to Trey and the Bengals. But he's still making a very solid point here about take care of it earlier rather than later. And that sounds like a pretty strong negotiating point by the Watt family in public towards the Steelers.
Why does he care so much if it's done this year? Let me rephrase that. Why does he care so much if he's saving the organization money or not? It seems like, well, if you would have did this, you could have saved some money. Shouldn't that be up to the organization to determine? You know, there's some smart guys there that know that the longer they wait is going to cost them a little bit more extra.
It's going to cost them a whole lot more now because Myles Garrett's getting $40 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but why that should not be your worry right now. The worry should be, okay, like he said, now the number is here instead of here. Who cares if that number is there now? That's their problem, not my problem anymore. That's the way I look at it. I'm under the belief that there is a contract offer on the table right now, which is pretty significant. However, It's probably not what he thinks it is.
It's not Garrett money.
Yes, I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's not like they're offering him, you know, $15 million and, hey, you're playing for the Steelers, so take it or like it.
Right, it's not a
loan. There is an offer on the table. I just assume since he's not signing, it's not – if it's terms, if it's
so that's,
years, if it's guaranteed money, something is holding it up, and it's probably just the amount.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's not just the amount, the number that's going to get put out there on the graphics when we talk about D-end edge rusher salaries. At this age, it's probably term as well. Like, if TJ wants 4 or 5 years at, okay, you're not going to give me 40, give me 38, right? If that's what he wants, the Steelers, and to their credit, TJ's not getting any younger, might not be willing to commit to such a big number at such a long term, and I don't blame them for that. But this is where things may start to get sticky, and why they may be sticky right now is, I'm TJ, I want the long-term commitment. You could have given it to me at a much lower price back in February, but you decided to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And now Hendrickson, he's fighting his battle, but Garrett, he got his 40 mil. Max Crosby got his big deal. And now I'm going to want not just the 4 or 5 years maybe, but I want a big number on it too.
Yeah. I mean, he went through this negotiation 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't see TJ Watt dropping off substantially in the next couple of years. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm in the minority here. All of a sudden he's becoming a guy that's, you know, almost not as welcome as Aaron Rodgers. Maybe not to that point right now, but it's crazy to me how much people have turned on him because of this. But the way I look at it is just like that first contract, that first big contract. If you guarantee that guy 2 years of 40, then have some, you know, wiggle room to get out of it after year three or four, I don't know how you can say no to that. You're going to be 30, what, three, mm-hmm. and get $80 million guaranteed? How can you say no to that? I think that might be the thing. Maybe the Steelers aren't offering him 2 years of guaranteed money like the last time. And maybe that's like, no, we're not going down that path, because then I could be left out of the cold right here. Who knows how the negotiation is going? But I think the guaranteed money is much more important than the length of the deal or the total number that you'll see Rappaport tweet out that means nothing.
But this is increasingly feeling like you referenced 3 years ago when they took it all the way out through camp and got it done. Basically, what was it, a week before the season started? Less than that?
Two days. Plus, then he went on and had 22 sacks, but who's counting? Hey, Cam Hayward skipped everything last year, too, and had his bad season as well. So I wouldn't quite worry about that guys of that caliber not participating in OTAs, minicamp, and even training camp, or even preseason.
All right. It's going to be interesting because, I mean, credit to JJ. He didn't reference TJ's negotiation specifically, but made a very strong stand.
Come on.
What?
That whole statement, you could just have put in TJ's name instead of Trey Hendrickson.
Well, but I think you're right to an extent. I don't think it's nearly as – and again, you would know better than I would.
Maybe not upset like that point. I'm talking about money-wise and kicking the can and all that. I don't think – TJ is going to hold a grudge or any? I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's nearly as contentious because I don't think the Steelers, like the Bengals did to Hendrickson, have been promising him a new deal for the last 2 years. And like TJ or JJ said, kicking it down the road. And now we're using, you know, Chase and Higgins as excuses for why they can't get it done. Yeah, the Steelers aren't spending a ton of money on offense.
Yeah, what excuse are you going to use? We have to pay who? Who exactly do you have to pay coming up here?
Right. The Steelers' offense is not breaking the bank, and there aren't a lot of other giant, massive contract extensions on the horizon. Yeah, so
Porter, but Jerry Porter is not a guy who's going to get a ton of money as we speak right now.
Who's the highest paid player on the offensive side of the ball right now? Is it still Pat Freiermuth?
Yeah, probably Freiermuth. I'm thinking here, Freiermuth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not even close. Now, maybe Metcalf, but of course.
Okay, yeah. My bad.
But maybe the Metcalf thing tweaked.
Threw a monkey wrench into the plans?
You give Metcalf $150 million. Yo, bro, I've been here forever.
Yeah. knows. If you would have got it done in February.
But I mean, TJ knows. I know it's an excuse that people don't like. I mean, it's just the way they do business. Is that business right, wrong? Could be. You can make arguments either way. But when he's going in knowing that they don't extend guys other than quarterbacks other than a year out, why do you feel – they don't do it to Cam Hayward. They don't do it to their stars other than the quarterback. Why would they do it to T.J. Watt? Why
would he perennial defensive player of the year type guy? That's why.
I understand. I mean, they did. I mean, to backtrack a little bit, make concessions a little bit with Antonio Brown by doing some funny numbers.
So if you're going to make concessions to a guy like AB, you're not going to make concessions for a guy like TJ, who really does handle himself as well as anybody could be expected to handle themselves.
I mean, I think I've said this many a time. People say, how many playoff games TJ Watt?
I get it. TJ Watt can't win a playoff game by himself.
I can guarantee you they ain't going to win any without him.
Right. So I hate that argument. For a quarterback, I think it's a difficult argument to make because he can't win a playoff game by himself. He just can't. Not even maybe a great quarterback, maybe an elite guy like your Josh Allens and Patrick Mahomes of the world. Joe Burrow can go out there and steal a playoff game or two on their own. But if you don't have the pieces around him, I'm sorry, you can't ask an edge rusher. He tried his damnedest to win a playoff game on his own a couple years ago. He scored the first touchdown of the game. And then they got run out of the building.
Yeah, you know, what do you have? Maybe 10 games he's missed in 7 years?
And what's their record without him?
That's not bad.
And they have exactly one win without him in the lineup. So there's another negotiating point in TJ Watt's corner.
Pittsburgh's finicky, man. They want you to pay people until you pay the people. And they're like, why are you paying this guy?
Right.
It's weird.
It's not our money, though.
Shouldn't.
The Rooneys have money.
We don't have to spend it on somebody.
It's about fitting it in under the cap. We mentioned the second highest paid dude on the offense, Pat Freiermuth, just a moment ago. And he did talk on Tuesday. We didn't get a chance to play this yesterday. He did talk on Tuesday about the highest paid player on the offense.
Me and him communicate a lot. He's been here, past couple of weeks and stuff. So it's been good to kind of work with him. And, it was funny. We were watching film and, just us lining up in stacks and bunches and stuff. It looks like we have friggin' two tight ends out there with him out there and 11 personnel. So it's been great to kind of work with him and, talk shop with another receiver about how he runs routes and how he sees coverage and stuff like that. So it's been great.
That's Muth talking about DK Metcalf.
Foreshadowing.
How many tight ends you want to fit in the formation there, Pat?
A bunch technique, baby. Here we go.
So Jonnu Smith trade rumors. I don't know if this is just some leverage being thrown out there by
almost
an agent.
Almost instantly, I was told that it was bogus.
Okay. So
it's almost a scratch my back, I'll scratch your back agent reporter relationship. And the thing is, these guys are very smart. They know the Steelers need some sort of weapon.
But they don't need a 17th tight end. I don't care.
But they also know that Arthur Smith absolutely loves Jonnu Smith.
Right.
Traded for him. I believe he drafted him as well. So it makes it almost you're thinking, hey, this could be true. But I think they're just playing him to try to get some money off of the Dolphins.
It makes
no sense. I don't know about Jordan Schultz's report. I'm guessing that's true. I mean, they're probably calling everybody in their – anybody who's picked up the phone and says, hey, is this receiver ready? But the Jonnu Smith thing.
I mean, you're right. Arthur Smith loves him some tight ends and loves Jonnu Smith. 8 touchdowns in their final year together in Tennessee in 2020. He had 8 more for Miami last year. Caught 50 balls in his 1 year with the Falcons with Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith loves him some tight ends, but you got Freiermuth. You got Washington, who I've loved and wish they would use more since they drafted him in the past game. Hopefully that comes along more this year. You don't need Jonnu Smith. And then you're going to have to give him a new deal on top of it. You're already paying Freiermuth. I'm sorry. It doesn't add up.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't add up, and it does add up to them looking for a wide receiver, regardless of how well or how well Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson look in this setting. You can't go down that path again, man. You can't determine anything from what you see in these OTAs and apply it to the regular season. They got busted on it last year, and there is no way in the world they're going to let that happen again, regardless of how well Roman, he's looked good. Calvin Austin's looked good. My buddy Brandon Johnson's looked good. They all
Don't
look
forget
good.
Your guy, Ben Skoranek.
Ben Skoranek, he was giving me the look yesterday. Like, I saw what you wrote. Maybe I'm just reading into things here. But he was giving me a little, not a stink eye, but hey, man, type of situation. But I do think that there will be a veteran wide receiver added here. Who? Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean,
whoever says yes.
all the same names are still out there. So
I mean, Terry McLaurin, man, that's just too much. I mean, he's going to want some big money.
Yeah, and I don't think they're necessarily looking to deal the draft capital that you would have to deal.
That too. I mean, that's crazy. I don't think you need to go down that route, but I think there's somebody out there that would fit better than what they have right now. I mean, the Robert Woods is in the Calvin Austin. You can, like I said, you can, as Mike Tomlin always says, man, I can make myself believe anything. You better make himself believe that these receivers are capable of being great players or star players or players that can go out there during the regular season and actually help you win. They could. I'm not taking it to the bank. I need some more. I don't even know what word I'm looking for here to get these guys to know if they're playing well or not. You know, I need more proof than just OTAs. And
yeah.
And if you get to that point, it's too late by the regular season. So
we're not just lighting the Jonnu Smith rumors on fire. We're lighting them on fire and then taking a leak on them to put them out, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what is he? I'm pretty sure Rosenhaus is his agent. So Steelers, I mean, I know Omar has a pretty good relationship with Rosenhaus, so he probably knows when he's full of shit and when he's not.
Okay, we'll just put it out there, full of shit. Thanks to our newest sponsor as well. They jumped on board a few weeks ago, about a month ago, and we appreciate them. Nail Studio 2 out in McMurray, Peters Township, offering everybody in the South Hills and beyond all kinds of services. You want to get pampered. You want to get the toes and the nails looking right just in time for beach and pool season. You got a lady in your life, or you are that lady in your life who needs to be taken care of. Manicures, pedicures, waxing, nail design, all of it. Go check them out on Washington Road in Cannonsburg, Lakeview Square, right next to Juniper Grill. Dads and grads, the perfect gift might be, whether it's for Father's Day. Yeah, dads like to get their feet taken care of sometimes. You got a grad, you want to get them a gift. All these reasons and more to get a hold of Nail Studio 2 out in McMurray, Peters Township, right next to Juniper Grill. 724-941-4595. Or check them out online at Nail Studio 2. That's a Roman numeral 2. NailStudio2.com. And they have online booking now, too. So you just go to the website. You can book your time and your service right there at NailStudio2.com. We've got to thank them for their support of the show as well. So
I got a quick question for you.
What?
It's just a human interest one. How many times do you shave a week? Because it looks like I need a shave. I hate shaving, so on average, I mean, you don't look like a hairy guy, so you're not an everydayer.
No, two or three, because I don't go all the way down to the skin either. I just kind of, you know,
you use the straight trim it razor up a little type thing, or do you use
I use the razor to kind of clear up the cheeks so I don't look homeless, get under the neck, you know? Nobody wants a neck beard.
I hate shaving. I do like once a week.
Is it like a Sunday morning thing for you?
Sunday morning, throw out the old lather.
Oh, you do the old school shaving cream all over.
Yeah, I mean, it rips up your face.
Get some good razor. We need to get a razor sponsor.
I do got those razors that come in the mail.
Yeah. They don't work for you?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe I should shave every day. People that shave every day just because they want to and not need to frighten me. Why would you do that?
Maybe they got a job where they got to be clean shaven. Maybe they work for the Yankees.
Yoey shaves every 6 hours.
He
should, but he doesn't.
He's a hairy dude. From off-the-field issues like TJ's contract extension and the Jonnu Smith rumors that we've not only lit on fire but pissed on to put him out, we go to on-field issues. The rookie quarterback, the sixth-round pick out of Ohio State.
Was a work in progress.
Why they to me.
That's Freiermuth. There's Will Howard. There's Will Hard. Let's hear what he had to say about the first day of OTAs. No, let's not. Let's keep popping the Freiermuth thing up on the screen there.
It sounds like you're drunk from going to Shaboozy.
I'm not drunk from Shaboozy nor Jelly Roll. I'm tired. All right, Will Howard.
It was a work in progress. You know, I didn't feel great about my first day, just coming off the field, you know, but it was a good learning experience for me. And I don't, you know, hey, like, I wasn't expecting to be perfect on my first day. I'm not going to be perfect. That's the thing, you got to learn. Like, you got to, especially me being young, like, you got to be able to roll with the punches and know that you're going to make some mistakes, especially being a rookie. And it's how you learn from it and come back from it and don't get affected by that. Like, you know, the second I, you know, mess up and then get in my head and you know shut down, like that's when problems happen, you know. But I felt like day one, you know, was a little bit just wasn't really comfortable yet. Didn't really know where my, you know, feet were. It was a little off timing. And then day two and three, I think I've been a lot better.
Obviously, this is a big week to build.
So Will Howard at OTAs yesterday talked about.
I don't get a shout out for that video. What the hell?
You know, it's our show. I don't need to give you a shout out for the video. Good photography work by you.
Oh, it was pretty hard. He was getting, as we say in the business, I better not say it.
Don't say that. He was getting crowded around. I know what you were going to say. Were you the first one there to try to talk to him and then everybody else filled in around you?
No, everybody pretty much anticipated him. However, I did get run up on Alex Highsmith, and I wasn't very appreciative of that.
Well, anyway, your travails in journalism aside.
What are you doing here? I'm sitting here talking to this guy for 4 minutes and you just come running up and like jumping me? What's going on here?
I mean,
that's old school, man. Have a little respect. Have a little respect on my name.
Put some respect on Kaboom's name. Will Howard just keeps saying all the right things. He admits when he has a bad day and he's ready to bounce back from it. The kid just knows what to say. How's he looked out there?
Yeah, just like you said, he looks a little overwhelmed at first. So, I mean, you're looking at this process right now as a process. He just needs to continuously check off things, getting better at it. If it's, you know, feeling more comfortable, if it's like he referenced later about some of the coverages and disguises that he just obviously had no clue what was going on because he never saw it before in the college ranks. And you slowly get to that point, I think eventually. That's why when you hear people, and at least in my opinion, say, oh, throw Will Howard in there. He's going to be great this year. Man, it's a process. I mean, he can't just fall back on athletic ability, arm strength, and all this other stuff that makes first-round quarterbacks, fourth-round quarterbacks. He has to add that to his knowledge and his smarts, and then that will turn him into a guy who's at least in the conversation of being getting out there. But he has obviously a long way to go to get to that point.
That's why I don't understand. Look, I appreciate the people that are excited about a young quarterback because it's a team that doesn't have a future at quarterback right now. Totally understand the excitement or the enthusiasm, right?
But he's like a great guy.
Exactly. He knows exactly how to act, knows exactly what to say, and he's already
not phony either, right?
No, he sounds like he's genuine about appreciating the opportunity, which is great. Yeah. That's what you want out of a young guy, but pump the brakes on this guy's going to take over the job or something in his first year. Like, just relax. First year for this guy is going to be about working out all the kinks and figuring out just getting through the first year at the NFL level, even as a third string quarterback.
If he's in the game this year, you might be getting your top 10 pick. And that's nothing against him. That's just the fact that
he's not ready.
Yeah, he's not ready. That's it. And he's not going to be ready. Maybe next year at this time we can have this conversation. But there's no use pushing him unless you're forced into that. I mean, when Rodgers comes, and if he gets hurt and Mason gets hurt, then you have to go. Then that's happened before. How many times have we? Yeah. 1 year, I think they went 4 quarterbacks deep playing him. So it might happen, but it wouldn't be best for him.
No, it would be best, like you said, for those people that want them to go 5-12 and end up with a top 10 pick.
And if you think about it, he's a huge Tom Arth fan. Arth recruited him to Akron. So those guys have at least a knowledge of each other. And he's the quarterback coach, Arth. So he's not going to totally just, you know, toss.
That's the one thing.
Mason Rudolph was tossed aside his rookie year.
That's what I was going to say. That's the one thing that gives me some hope for Will Howard here in Pittsburgh. For his development anyway. I don't know if he ends up just being a high-end backup or ends up being a starter in the league someday. What gives me hope for his development is that he's got a quarterback coach, one that he knows, one that seems to be trusted in the business. Like, that's completely – we talked about it the other day, but it's completely light years different from the way Mason was brought in and really from the way the offense has functioned as a whole for most of Tomlin's tenure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back to the Mason. I mean, not only did he have a quarterback coach, then he had to deal with Matt Canada and Randy Fichtner without much help and get thrown over the – thrown into the fire and get, you know, go have at it. Earl Thomas knock you out and you look like a – have to take your face mask off and Miles Garrett smacking you, then, you know, making accusations about you. Then you break your – collarbone, then you come back. I mean, my Lord, to be able to.
It's an uphill battle. I think it's a good way to put it, an uphill battle.
And that's another reason why I think people are in Mason's corner right now. Just like what Howard said yesterday. Howard said, man, I know my place here. I don't want to come in and step on any toes. You know, I want to ask some questions, but I know my role right now. And once again, that's refreshing, I think.
What else did you learn during the first week of OTAs that we haven't talked about in the last couple of days, besides that you like sushi?
Oh, we talked about Leal's ass, right?
Right.
Funny thing is,
you talked at length about the Marvin Leal's ass, actually. Yeah, like, I was starting to wonder.
They aggregated it, and it really did look bad in print when I was talking about his ass. I was really just meant he's bigger. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there yesterday, so a lot of these guys are given like Thursdays off. Hey, get your weekend started. I don't know why Leal was in that, why he was in that group, but there was a bunch of guys not there yesterday. I'm just trying to think out as we're moving on who.
You would think, though, stick with Leal for just a second. You would think after everything you were talking about yesterday with him and the edge rotation that we talked about, that he would want to get the extra looks and the extra time.
It could have been anything. For all I know, he could have been inside working out. We're not allowed in there. I mean, so it's hard to determine that if he wasn't there. I didn't see him. He wasn't out there for practice. I asked, and he wasn't around at all. You know who is low-key hard worker? I don't know, maybe he's not low-key. Minka Fitzpatrick, the dude puts in the time, man.
Yeah.
He's there start to finish. He's working afterwards. He's putting in the time. He doesn't like to talk to us. Heads on out, but who would want to talk to us?
Right.
But that's like if you're complaining about him and not producing, it's not because of a lack of effort. The guy puts a lot of effort into
it. I just want to see him get back to going after the football. You know, like I get it when the coverage isn't as strong, especially underneath. And you've got to cover up for some other people's mistakes, maybe in some cases. We always hear about communication issues on this defense for some reason, regardless of who the coordinator is and who's in the secondary. We've been hearing about it for years. But, you know, I just want to see him play with the freedom that he played with when he first came in, when he was running around going after the football.
Well, he has to be put in that position as well. I don't know how much he's been set up to be able to succeed like that. So, I mean, hey, let's trust Mike Logan. Those things do come in bunches, but there's been a bunch of time where he hasn't made that play. And if you don't have, you know, the crooked numbers next to some of those stats, then
yeah,
those stand out quite quickly. I mean, you know who I walked by yesterday, 2 days ago, was Jalen Warren. He walked by me, and I said, there ain't no damn way in the world I'd want to tackle this guy.
No, he's a bull. He's a human wrecking ball.
Oh, Lord. I mean, just watching him, and those legs are like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, how in the world does anybody tackle this guy?
No.
I should know this already. I've seen him many a times, but it was like he was coming at me walking, and I'm like, holy cow, look at this guy.
No, I don't want to be a DB. And that guy breaks one to the outside, or I'm on the second level and he's coming at me, I'm diving right at his knees. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to take that man up head on because I know I'm going to get steamrolled.
Yeah. You know, we've been here, what, 40 minutes and no Aaron Rodgers talk? What's going on?
Well, I mean, give it time, Kaboom. I'm sure one day without some Aaron Rodgers talk, people will be okay with it.
What are we looking at? I'm saying within, I better not say this because it'll be accurate.
Do it. Give me a date. Come on. Give me a date.
6 to 7 days from now, he'll be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
So you're saying by this time next week, when we're speaking, Aaron Rodgers will be a Pittsburgh Steeler?
That's my prediction.
Ooh, that's spicy. So by June 6th.
Spicy. That's spicy.
Spicy as that was. Did you put any wasabi on the sushi yesterday?
I love hot stuff, but I didn't see any wasabi. That's that green stuff, right?
Yeah, you just mix it in with the soy sauce, and then you dip the sushi in there, and you get a little taste of wasabi.
The only thing I really know about wasabi was watching Jackass, and Steve-O used to snort it.
Yeah, I can't. No, thanks. I'm
That's
good.
The only thing I know about wasabi.
These guys are insane.
Oh, I love the spicy stuff.
Well, you should try it next time you get sushi, since you're going to be a regular sushi eater now.
No, I'm a regular sushi eater if John shows up to the Steelers and they have sushi.
Come on.
John Miyagi. John. Speaking of, Karate Kid Legends comes out, I guess, yesterday.
Oh, and you didn't see it yet?
I'm not.
Is this in the theaters or is it on like Netflix?
It's on like Apple TV and the theaters. I don't have high hopes. So no. If I go in with
Jackie Chan,
I went to see the last time when Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith was in it. It was awful.
Okay.
So I'm skeptical.
I'll hope for your sake. Skeptical. I have no plans on watching it. Nothing against the Karate Kid universe. I have no plans on it. I look forward to a review from you at some point in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
like a professional Siskel and Ebert style review.
Problem is, I want to go to that, and the kid wants to go to like Dog Cop or something like that. Dog something, Dog Man.
If it's on Apple TV, just watch it at home.
I don't do Apple TV.
I don't pay for my.
Apparently, this Dog Man thing's on Peacock.
Well, there you go. You got Peacock for the wrestling, right?
Well, I still the brother-in-law's Peacock. You think I'm paying for Peacock that was it once a month?
Good point. I hadn't thought of that. Thanks.
Like you haven't stole stuff.
Shut up.
Changing your VSP and stuff like that. Is that what you call it?
VPN.
Whatever.
Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC, who are always fair and reliable. 412-297-1852. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Get the AC tuned up. It's supposed to warm up here in the next week or so. At least that's what the weathermen say. I don't know. And anything you may need, maybe the furnace goes kaput in the dead of winter like ours did. They came right over, took care of it, got us a new one. Everything working fantastic. Get it checked up before you turn it on. And then if things start to look a little iffy, get them to come on out and service it for you. Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. We appreciate their support of the program as well. So I want to get to some yinzers in the wild here in a second. And you've got some predictions for WWE this summer, or some ideas, some theories, some thoughts that I want to touch on. But you sent me this picture a few days ago, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. It's our guy, Bad Napoleon, at the Pacers game. When was this? Earlier in the week, right?
3 days ago. No, so 2 days.
Is it game 4?
Yeah, it was in Indiana, so it was game four, which game five is tomorrow.
No,
so
game five was last night. The Knicks won by
apparently seven. He's going to game
he's going to game six.
So he tweets out.
Really? I'm rapidly approaching the point where we should ask Bad Napoleon to come on the show,
he,
I think.
He sounds like a good July guest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Post OTAs, pre-training camp kind of guest. But I think we'll have to get Bad Napoleon
on. He is a big Steeler fan, so.
Massive Steeler fan. He's from Montana, though, which I don't get.
Nobody's from Montana.
That's what he said, I think. I think that's where he's from.
What I'm saying is nobody's from Montana.
Well, he is. And so, if nothing else, it may be the first time in my life I've ever talked to someone from the state of Montana. So, it might be worth it. I'm just curious. Like,
one time on a flight, I was leaving Minnesota, and they wanted me to go to Logan. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And then I realize there's a Logan Airport in Montana. I'm like, whoa, I think we have the wrong Logan Airport you have me sending to. I'm like, I'm not going to Montana. What are you doing?
It's supposed to be beautiful out there. I got some neighbors that are taking an RV trip. They're gonna fly to Indy, and then they're gonna rent an RV and drive all the way out through, like, you know, the Dakotas and everything, and see all the sights and go all the way to Yellowstone in an RV with their family.
Is he going to go see La Fonda?
I don't know. I didn't ask about La Fonda.
Well, we could go see Bad Napoleon.
Yeah. I mean, he could if he really wanted to. So Bad Napoleon sighted in Indianapolis. And then there were a couple other sightings. I don't know if you saw these on Saturday night's main event. Hold on. I got to find the pictures here. Of course, I don't have them readily available because I'm a big dummy. Oh, here we go. This was the first one I noticed was during Saturday night's main event. There's a guy right behind Pat and Cole with a Pirates hat on. Just chilling there in the front row. It's like, okay, you often see Pittsburgh gear regardless of where they're at. And they were especially down in Tampa because that's where they were this weekend for Saturday night's main event and Raw on Monday. They were at the Yingling Center in Tampa. So we had that guy. And then there was another guy. You know how they do where they go around and they introduce all the dignitaries and luminaries who were at the live event, right? Like, you know, movie stars, TV stars, musicians.
Netflix stars.
And former WWE stars in some cases, including Tatanka, who was at the event in Tampa. And there's a dude right behind him pointing to his Pirates hat. I got his name, and then I lost it.
I think, is that LeBar's buddy from Pittsburgh?
It may be.
What the hell's his name? Shit.
I don't know. So I have a friend, Jeff, that works for AEW, okay? He claims this is his friend who lives in Tampa now or lives down in Clearwater or something, who was posted up right behind Tatanka at Saturday night's main event. But another Yinzer in the wild. Pittsburgh everywhere, always. And we always spot him here on Kabali and Mac. So if you see a Yinzer in the wild, by all means, send us the photo on social media.
Send us to LeBar now.
Yeah, make sure. See if that's it probably is, because Jeff, who is the guy I know from AEW, is also friends with LeBar. So they probably know all the same people. They all run in packs in these same circles. Multiple Yinzers in the wild spotted at WWE events over the weekend. So
why all Pirates hats?
I think the Pirates hat, something about the gold P is synonymous with Pittsburgh. Like,
maybe they just like to support losers.
Damn. Jesus, Mark.
Yeah, I don't support a loser. I support Thomas Jefferson.
I see that.
The great Tim Vickers.
Yeah, he told me there's another hat available this morning.
Oh, of course. Of course, you probably went and asked for it.
I didn't. He texted me out of the blue. Said there's another TJ hat if you want one. I haven't responded to him yet because I didn't have a chance. He texted right before the show started. And I want to tell him how he lives right up the hill. He's up on another street, like kind of behind my house. But he lives in a big house up on the hill. But I, you know, the two of us wearing the same hat at the same time is a bit of a weird look. It's like you talking about the Marvin Leal's ass too poetically.
I think,
you know what I mean?
Maybe we can show our solidarity Thomas to TJ Watt.
That, you know, that's not, maybe I'll get it from Vickers and then I'll wear it when TJ finally does sign the deal, since you're going to wear yours.
You just can't wear it. get it and not wear it.
Well, no, if I get it, like I said, I'll save it for a special occasion. We can't be wearing the same hat.
The yellow one? All white? White
and
yellow?
I think so. I think that's the official TJ baseball hat.
I think they got like seven different color combinations.
Probably. The kids got to have a lot of uni combos. They like it that way. What's your big prediction? So first, I'm going to start with this. Money in the Bank is a week away.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah. We're going to have Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso in a tag match.
Which is just setting up something, but yeah.
In a tag match against Logan Paul.
LaVar got back to me and told me that's his buddy Nolan.
Nolan, that's his name.
Yes, I knew that's who that was. I knew he was from Pittsburgh.
So I messaged Nolan, or I tried to send him something on Instagram and say, hey, you should be our latest Yinzer in the Wild to come on the show. I haven't heard back from him, though. So
LaVar, that's LaVar's buddy.
See, I told you, they all run in packs.
There you go.
Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso against Logan Paul and John Cena. Are we going to end up getting Logan Paul being some sort of attachment to the final boss in some way, somehow, down the line? It feels like this could lead to that storyline.
I don't think so. I don't even know the final boss is even going to be a thing anymore. Is it?
Well, I think they're going
to play. I haven't seen it forever.
It's been a while, yeah. But that's, I mean, Cena's The Rock's boy now, right?
I mean, he came out and pretty much said he would love to ruin wrestling with a guy like Logan Paul.
The YouTuber.
Logan Paul took a couple shots at him on his Impulsive podcast, claiming that he stole Yeet from him, at least Uso. So, I don't know. I don't think so. Because I don't know if Logan Paul will be around as much to be able to make that a viable.
He's pretty regular these days. I mean, he's on TV 4 or 5 times a month.
I mean, speaking of that, you know how many matches Roman Reigns has, singles matches he's had since losing his title to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40?
None, right? One.
Okay. Well, the Solo Sikoa one.
Okay. All right. That's
stunning. Which he's waiting in the wings. He's waiting. I think what comes out of this is just setting up, I think, some of the Saudi Arabia and maybe SummerSlam of Cody Rhodes seen at SummerSlam. Logan Paul versus Jey Uso in Saudi Arabia 3 weeks later at, I forget what the PLE's called at that point.
Crown Jewel.
Yeah. But you know, this Jey Uso documentary or behind the scenes or whatever's coming out where you see Triple H tell Jey Uso, we're putting you on the rocket ship.
Yeah.
You're not releasing that, then dumping the title from him.
Well, when is that series supposed to start? The behind the scenes look?
I think pretty soon. I don't know exactly when.
Just said summer, I saw.
You know, like they probably don't have it completely done yet in production, but are you going to yank the belt off of the guy as you're promoting him for this big event, this big behind the scenes never seen before? So I think Jey Uso holds on to this belt for a while. Until
he's as over as anyone is with the crowd right now. I mean, people still,
and which makes it interesting, as Logan Paul has said, it's because of his yeet. He claims that he's the one who invented the yeet.
Yeah, and nobody likes Logan Paul. That's the problem.
It's a very good problem to have.
Yeah. It actually makes them perfect foils for one another, Uso and Paul. So you also started to go down this road the other day.
Uh-oh.
The next Saturday night's main event is July 12th, part of a big weekend in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And your massive prediction is that we will get Goldberg's final match in Atlanta.
You would think so, right? I mean, he lives in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He's already had some beef with Gunther dating back to what? September, October of last year when Gunther said he was like his second favorite, whatever he said.
He said he was his second favorite wrestler only to Bret Hart, I think is how it
was. Yeah, so it was a good troll job right there. If there was going to be a final match, that's where you would think it would be.
Yeah.
But how do you get to that point? I mean, he would have to be show up sometime before that, right? To make it official. It's a one-off. I mean, it looks like Gunther's in that holding pattern of a lot of one-offs. Uso getting tapped out. McAfee on to potentially challenging Jey Uso. He's fighting. He's wrestling somebody on the Raw after Money in the Bank. Is it Uso or is it Logan
Paul? It's Uso. The
yeah,
Raw
yeah,
after
it's Money him, in the Bank. Probably right to Goldberg. I don't think they don't know what to do with. You know, the problem was they gave Gunther the belt for like 8 straight years. Now they're like, oh, maybe we should back off a little bit.
I am curious to see who wins both the Money in the Bank cases. Rhea Ripley doesn't need a Money in the Bank case. Maybe they give it to one of the newcomers.
Rollins doesn't need it, right?
No. Rollins doesn't. Sokoa does. I don't. Penta. What's he going to do?
But
with it?
Penta, I thought they wrestled right the day before in their opening of their Mexican. They acquired the whatever that's called.
Triple
A Luchador. I think they're. Not only the day before, I think they're doing it earlier in the day, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the Worlds Collide thing is earlier in the day. That's at like 3 Eastern.
Now, that would be interesting, him doing it at 3, then running over and from.
Well, he's not on the bill for anything.
Forum. I think they're having it at the Forum, right? Over to the Intuit Center.
Yes, exactly. I think you're
run
right.
Run over and have him win that, too. That'd be interesting.
He's not on the card for anything at the Worlds Collide event yet. He is in the ladder match, the Money in the Bank match, which would be
how
wild.
How can he not be in anything in the Worlds Collide?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what the card looks like right now. It's a week away. So maybe something gets set on SmackDown tonight or on Raw on Monday. Yes, Mark Malone. We are talking about WWE type stuff.
And if you do look at maybe the ratings and the global appeal, maybe you should jump on Mark Malone
and look at Kaboom's paychecks too, because he works for WWE now.
No, the thing about WWE is people, oh, that's fake. You know what else is fake? Every TV show and movie you ever watched. It's not.
Are you gonna
fake.
Get mad now? Are you gonna?
Oh, no, it's not fake. I mean, let wrestling me pick you haters up and pull you off the top rope and tell me if that pain is fake or not.
Yeah, see what Penta did to Chad Gable the other night when I think he kind of missed the move a little bit and kind of caught him flush in the face. Don't know if he busted his nose or not, but he was bleeding all over the place. Look at Chelsea Green last Friday on SmackDown, I think it was.
There's predetermined outcomes. There's no fake involved.
No, there's bad things that happen to people who get very hurt. Ask JD McDonough's punctured lung.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, you're going to go and watch, I don't even know. Well, Miyagi, Karate Kid Legends. You know what that is? That's not real.
You just ruined the whole thing.
It's not real.
You.
It's not real.
Just ruined the whole thing.
But I'm guessing some people will watch it. You know what else? Probably. Real Superman and Batman and all these Marvel characters.
What? You bastard. Just completely tearing down the fourth wall for me. All right, I think we've got everything out of the way that we needed to get out of the way after the first week of OTAs. Second week will start next Tuesday, so that would be the 4th. And you heard it here first. Kabali said by June 7th, I think, is the date you put on it, maybe. I don't know. Let me look at the calendar here. You said
maybe Thursday or Friday.
You said 6 to 7 days, right?
Yeah.
So that would put us at, why won't the calendar come up? Dear God, all I want is a calendar to come up on my screen.
The
so that would be
Tuesday,
June 6th.
Friday?
June 6th is a Friday.
Know, on the weekends. So maybe news breaks on the weekend and it officially happens on the Monday or the Tuesday when he shows up. But I fully anticipate him being a Pittsburgh Steeler on the first day of minicamp.
Big prediction by Kaboom right here on Kabali. Woo! Mac. Tell all your friends about it. Rodgers will be here within the next week because Nathan just asked on YouTube, when will Rodgers sign? And that's what the comments are for. Sometimes we grab them and actually answer your questions. So appreciate absolutely everybody for checking in today. Thanks again to our good friends at the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, HAECK, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. for presenting Cabali and Mac. Kaboom, have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday. Sound good?
Monday. And hey,
don't forget.
Get signed up.
Yeah. Go subscribe right now. YouTube, Cabali and Mac. If you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers, you'll have a chance to win that autographed Paul.
And Mac's already thrown out the old Pat Freiermuth helmet. It's in the mail. If it's not, he's slacking.
I didn't get his address yet. As soon as he emails me with his address, I'll ship it to him, okay?
I wouldn't trust you with anybody's address.
What am I going to do? Guy lives in Florida, I think. By the way, we've had four winners, I think, or three or four winners now, different stuff. We've had California, two Floridas. Was there an Arizona in there somewhere, too? People nationwide.
Pittsburgh guys got to get on the ball.
Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. Send us your Yinzers in the Wild. Hashtag Yinzers in the Wild if you find any over the weekend. And have a great one, Pittsburgh. We love Yins, guys. See ya.